Okay, so I'm just going to roll out a whole heap of episodes when I'm dabbling on about my life while my memory is fresh. The police officers in the last one, they were catching the fallen guy who had vanished next to a car. Then the other guys walked around a corner, the other two walked around a corner, they vanished. I thought it was odd, because it's normal for police officers to be around when clubs close early hours of the morning, right? So these two were across the street trying to catch this fallen guy. And I didn't realise that at the time. At the time, I didn't realise that they were angels and he was one of the fallen. So anyway, they're gone. And a couple more cops turn up. And I said to them, hey, where'd those other two little lady cops go? And they said, oh, we're the first ones here. What are you talking about? Said, oh, there were two little woman cops here trying to catch another guy. And he said, we don't have little lady cops. Not out on tonight, anyway. And I thought, oh, angels again. Okay. So then I clicked. And then I thought, well, why were they catching that other guy? Wow, he must be fallen. It didn't dawn on me till days later that, going back on memories of when I first met him, he calls me up, because I'm self-employed at the time, doing, you know, things like building and plumbing and tiling, mostly tiling and waterproofing. I still do those occupations to this day. This is going back like 20 years. And he calls me up to go out to some storage garages and do some renovations, help him build these garages. So I go out, and he's made a few. He's wanting to make like 20 more of these storage units. And I says to him, well, actually, I don't have much experience with these sorts of things. I just do bathroom renovations, building. Build walls in a house, not on a big scale like what you want to be done. I could put you on a guy that can, though. So I put him onto a mate, Christian mate, and he says, oh, you're a good guy. If you do home renovations, I've got some rental properties I want you to work on. So I go working on these other rental properties. So with one day, it goes into another and another. After about 3 or 4 days, I soon learn that he lies a lot. He doesn't want to pay me. I call up my mate, ask him how things are going with this developer. He says, nah, I walked off because he kept like not wanting to pay him. With new customers, we always get an advance, and he just keep making excuse after excuse after excuse not to pay the advance. So anyway, eventually, I told you in the last episode what happened. You got cops across the street posing as cops, or the angels posing as cops, try to catch him. He gets away. They know where he's going. They eventually catch him, I'm sure. So a few years go past, right? And going forward like 10 years. I go back to the same storage garage with my brother-in-law. He's using one of these storage garages to hold a whole lot of his stuff. I didn't know that. And so we go in there and I says to him, I knew the developer that made these. He goes, oh yeah, how was he? I says, oh, he's creepy. Something was very wrong and off with that guy. We pull up to the gate. And this chick just walks out of one of them. And walks out the gate with a sort of looking at us sideways with a bit of a smirky grin. And just walks down the road. We thought, this is odd. Anyway, I saw which one she came out of. She says, the door's still open on that one she came out of. I'll go in there and go to look in and see if I close the door and... Well, the room's empty. There's nothing in there. It's like this tiny little 1 meter wide, well, it might have been 2 meters wide by about 3 meters deep room where people would store like, I don't know why you put in a little room like that. Bugger all. One room, a lot of stuff if you're renting a room somewhere and you've got to store just a little bit of things. It was empty. I saw she walked out of it, walked out the gate, down the road. That was it. Empty room. And then that was my first realization of if they can disappear just vanish, right? Because I've seen a dude do it, and two angels, and actually over the years I saw it a few times. I'll tell you about them in other episodes. That was my first realization, that if they're vanishing somewhere to get away, they've got to be vanished, they're going to be like just appearing somewhere, right? So that's what the property developer was doing. Building storage garages and dotted places for them to just appear and walk into town. There's houses dotted all over cities that are abandoned and empty where they just poof, there they are, walking from the spirit realm into our realm. It's when I first learned, I first realized that's what they do. So the Fallen have been buying up properties, building properties and storage garages and just rental properties that are abandoned and empty all over the place where they can just walk into a city. Yeah. Actually, what I failed to neglect was, in my last episode, was I did meet a Christian teacher guy who said he was an ex-high satanic priest, and sort of yakked with him for a couple of weeks. At this place, he was sort of renting a room in a motel down the road with another guy, and they were on their way. They were just stopped over for a little bit because they knew a fellow that I was flatting with. We're just hanging out for a couple of weeks, and he was an ex-satanic priest, a high priest. He used to tell us stories about how he would be anywhere. It could be anywhere. It doesn't really matter as long as the place was empty, and he could open up a wall to hell and speak with Satan in hell, and he would give him his orders direct. What was his name? John Rennie. He drove a pretty old beaten up car. It's on a benefit. Told me his life story. It's quite an interesting one. In hindsight it is. At the time it wasn't. But now that I think about things and mull over how life went and listen to his story, it's actually quite interesting. And so he had always been a Luciferian. He had always been in the satanic circles. And his family were Christians. And he was saying that at the time he didn't realize that he was dying young, in his like 40s and 50s. And he was quite ill for his age because of the hatred and the anger in his life and things that he was doing, and being around all that evil was killing him. He didn't know it at the time, and his Christian family were trying to tell it to him, and he didn't hear them. So when he used to go into a room and get his orders from the devil himself, it was usually go up on a roof, sit top somewhere, and kill this priest, kill that pastor, shoot this. It's always killing someone. And that person that he had to shoot was someone influential for God. So he was a hitman for Lucifer. And he said, how did you end up coming to be Christian then? And now you're telling me these sorts of things. He told me all sorts, like how to spot people that worship Lucifer, how to spot Satanists, telltale signs of Satanists, all sorts of different things, subtleties and within and around that person, and you can see that they are Satanists. So he taught me all this, and over the years it actually helped. It really did, that learning that I got from him. After that, after Whangarei, it actually helped a lot, and I could spot them after a while. And then later on I started learning little things about like symbolism. I'm still learning about symbolism. It doesn't really matter these days anymore. It's starting to not matter, I think. Maybe not. Anyway, moving on. John Rennie. And I asked him how he came to be Christian. He was dying. Cancer's riddled all through him. He was dying. He knew he was going to die soon and go to hell. He knew it. And his family knew it. And anyway, they managed to get him. They tricked him. They told him the truth, mostly. They left out a few things. They said, oh, I've got to come to a birthday party for one of your grandchildren. And so they took him. And he didn't realize he was walking into a church service. And so he told me he was laughing at the time. When he was telling me the story, he's laughing at the story. And then he gets serious. And he says, I walked into this building and sat down, and there's all these other people there. He thought, he didn't realize this was a church service. He'd never been to one. He'd never seen it. He just went in with his family and sat down with his family. And then when the pastor got up to start preaching, because it actually was their child, grandchild's birthday, they just happened to be going to church that day. And the preacher gets up to the stand and starts preaching. And then he realizes what's happening. And he goes to get up to walk out. But he's stuck to the seat. He can't get off the seat. And he said, it was weird because he thought maybe I should just make a ruckus and move the whole seat. But the seat wouldn't move from the floor. And he couldn't get off the seat. And the seat wouldn't move along the floor. You know how normally you could drag a chair? Well, the chair wasn't moving. It was a long pew sort of thing. And so he's stuck there. He just crossed his arms and tried to not get angry, he said. And the preacher started preaching, and then the preacher just stopped. He said, there's someone in here that is dying and needs to be saved. Holy Spirit just told me. Well, that person put their hand up. And his granddaughter looked at him. And his daughter looked at him. And I think, I can't remember, he said he had a couple of children. And there were a few people there that knew him from his family and friends and that Christian circle that knew of him. And they looked at him. Where was this? Wellington, I think. I think he said it was Wellington. Yeah. And they just all looked at him. And the pastor said to him, oh, would you come up here, sir? He didn't want to move. He said, no, he said, the pastor said, we can't carry on until you come up here to get healed, sir. And John said, there was this white light circling the room. And it just kept going around the room, was slowly moving around the room. And something lifted him up out of the chair. He said it was definitely an angel. He could feel the arms of someone that he couldn't see. Lift him up out of the chair, drag him into the aisle, and push him up the aisle. And he was on an angle. He was trying to not go forward. Remember, he spent a lot of time in the enemy camp working for the enemy. So he's like on an angle of like 45 degrees, he says, being pushed up the aisle. And then held right there, got up there, standing there, and then he said he couldn't move. He just couldn't move. He said, and this light went around the room, the pastor started praying, and the light came around, big ball light, he said, about the size of a soccer ball, went in front of him, turned into an arrow, went into him. He said he felt like it was cleansing within him. And then a fire coming up from his feet, up his body, went all the way up his body. You see, he could feel all the bad, bad, cancerous, evil crap build up in his body, leaving, being burnt away. He was healed. The cancer was gone. He was supposed to be dead in like a couple of weeks. He went back to the doctor. The doctor said it was gone. When he told the story, the doctor didn't believe him. Remember, this was Wellington. And he said that these satanic movements are prominent in Wellington, Christchurch, Queenstown, big cities like Auckland. I'm not going to tell you what to look for, but he said they were big in all those places. And that's how he came to be a Christian, was that the pastor listened to the Holy Spirit, an angel, pushed him up the aisle, Holy Spirit light went into him in the form of an arrow, fire went up his body, cleansed him, got all the cancer up. Yeah, and then I bumped into him and he taught me a whole lot of stuff about the other side, Team Evil. And it served me well, that knowledge, over the years. So that was interesting. Angels, man. Angels and demons and the other team. They really do just vanish. Turn your head and gone. You can do a full 360. A person that wasn't there will be there. Walk into an empty room, walk out, walk back in again. Another person could be there. They really do exist, and they really do just come in and out from the other side into our side. I've seen it a few times. I was following this guy, looked really, really angry at me one day. And when I was early in the morning, I was on my way to a shop somewhere. I was doing a contract. I was on my way to go do a contract. I was walking down the street to go find a coffee. I walked out of the shop that I was tiling, and went to go find a shop that was open early in the morning to get a coffee, right? I'd been working full night. I was just about finished. So I'm walking down the street. There's a dude on the other side who's just really angry. I'd never seen someone that angry before. Just, what the fuck? He's just like, and I was like mesmerized. Fuck. So I was just wandering around looking at this shop, and I just kept eyeing him, walking down the road, and I just kept watching him. He walks around the corner into a car park block, down this alley, and I knew that alley. It goes under a car park building, and there's nowhere to go. It's just a dead end, and you walk under this ramp, and there's nothing there. He went down there. There's a wall. It's like an alcove, but it's a concrete alcove wall, and there's nowhere to go when you go in there. And I saw him walk in there. I thought, what the fuck is that dude, homeless or something? So I went down to have a look. But stupid of me, wasn't it? Could have been a demon or some shit. Or possessed, fallen angel or something. So I went down and had a look. And he wasn't there. I saw him walk in there and under this ramp. I went and had a look. Gone. The odd thing was, I've seen that happen down that very alley twice. And so I just stopped looking. After that, I just sort of thought, nah, it was dodgy. I'm just going to stop looking. So, yeah. Yeah, like that. Stopped. Huh. Anyway, so they really do just come and go like that. It's creepy, really. Now that I know that, I can't unknow it. So, that brings me up to about the age of around 35-ish. Happy family, wife, children. 35-ish. No more fines and speeding fines and cops pulling me over, pretending to be our angels, pulling me over, pretending to be cops. Just seeing them vanish all the time. And working hard. So anyway, next episode, I think I'm going to talk about the angel that I picked up hitchhiking. He told me I was from the tribe of Naphtali. That'll be the next one. Let's do Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.